When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast, recorded in front of a live audience right here at the London Eurovision Party. Woo! Listen to that roar. So good. We are well into pre-party season, as we know. Not long to go until the grand final in Malmö on May the 11th. Very exciting. I'm excited. You guys excited? Yeah. Of course. Coming up on today's episode, we are chatting to some Eurovision legends. Also, some of this year's class, if we can find them, because the venue here is like a maze and they may have got trapped in a basement somewhere. But hopefully we will find them. But I don't want to waste any time. I want us to give a huge welcome to my first guest, who is quite simply a Eurovision icon. There is no other word, an icon. It is now 10 years since they wowed the Eurovision crowd, winning with Rise Like a Phoenix. It is Conchita!
Oh. Thank you.
So good to have you here. It's so good. Where's 10 years gone?
Thank you for having me. Yes, what the actual? No? It came up like 3 years ago and somebody said you're going to have like your 10 years anniversary. I'm like, no, it must be. No, it's not. But yeah, what happened?
Well, you haven't aged a bit.
No, I decided not to. So.
Give me the tips, please. All the tips.
It's a lot of rest.
It was history making, and I don't know if you'd agree with this, but I'd argue that your win was one of the biggest cultural moments of this millennium. Your win ran so deep for so many people.
Yeah, it's intense. I'm so happy that we all can share this, because for me, I can't really watch any snippets of it, and then I'm like, you know, already in tears. Because it meant so much to me as an artist, as a queer kid, and then getting the feedback of everybody and all the stories I heard, how many people got like inspired by this moment, it's overwhelming, and I'm so grateful to be, you know, in this story.
So you don't watch it back? You never watch?
No, it's not on purpose. It's just, you know, you don't like go back and like, oh, what did I do 10 years ago? But sometimes, you know, when I'm like in TV shows or something, there is like always this little montage of the things I did. And then I'm like always choking a little bit because it's very intense till today. Yeah.
There is a bit in that performance when you watch it back on YouTube or whatever, there's a roar from the crowd I think you're after the bridge. So you're approaching the finale, the final chorus, and you can hear this wall of sound from the audience. Were you aware of that at the time?
No, you can't hear anything with your in-ear monitoring. You can't hear anything, but you feel it. You feel it. And actually, that's a lie. I heard it because it was so loud. No, it was so loud because, as you just mentioned it, I felt, yeah, because I know exactly why. I was like, I have to concentrate because you get carried away so easily with emotions, and especially when there are so many people cheering for you, and it's insane. What happened that night? It truly is still unbelievable.
Do you remember it with crystal clarity, or no, is it a blur?
It's a total blur. One of the moments I always remember is when, like, I think there were still three countries to go in terms of voting and the results coming in, and the gold glitter rain falling down from the skies. because I thought, don't jinx it. There are still more countries to go, and I've never been good at math, so I didn't listen. So, you know, the presenter then said there is no way of anybody else winning but me, and I didn't get it. So I was like in the middle of being angry and then, you know, it was a weird moment. But then I remember then my former manager dragged me, like really dragged me up the stairs.
Yanked.
Because I had such a tight dress and nobody thought of you know, moving up a staircase or something. Why would we? But then this really was a challenging moment too.
To get to
so go. Stupid, right? You have like the biggest moment in your life, and I remember getting up the stairs or not getting up the stairs.
Because the dress was so tight.
It was
around
so
the legs.
Tight, but it's always visual before comfort. Always.
Always, yeah. Always. That's a good philosophy to have in life. Yeah. Vision before comfort. Yeah. Without a doubt. And obviously, lots changed for you in your whole life, but what changed immediately after that win? What changed in your life permanently?
Well, I really felt I arrived because I had this fantasy for all of my life as a queer kid. Every hairbrush was a microphone, every podest was a stage, every group of people was an audience, whether they wanted it or not. And I always had this this imagination of me being in a slow-mo movie and finding my light. And then it became true all of a sudden. You know, I really felt like I arrived, I felt home, I felt I really could relax into the situation, which I'm very grateful for now in hindsight. I could really take in the moment, yeah.
We've all been there, haven't we? Microphone in hand, into the mirror, you know, we've all done it. That yeah. The lights on us, performing for our parents, whether they liked it or not. No, I'm doing a show for
yes.
you.
Again, the same show like last night.
Yeah. Here is my choreo. You will accept it. And it's been, like I said, it's been 10 years. And I just think that what you did opened so many doors for other artists at Eurovision. It's always been a very safe space for any artist to come on and do what they want to do. Mm. And I feel that you are one of those people, when we look back through history, that set a marker down.
You know what? I feel like I have this same exact feeling with Loreen and Euphoria. I think that she really changed the song contest back then. I don't want to be... I hope this is not insensitive, but I felt like this is when the Eurovision Song Contest became cool.
I think some people would agree.
Do you get what I mean? I mean, I loved it, of course, but with Loreen, it was all of a sudden, oh, it's a pop phenomenon. It's happening. And now we have songs that are like, of course, a little bit Eurovision, because I feel like there is a certain scent to the Eurovision music.
Yeah.
But now it's like really mainstream and just hit after hit. And I think that changed with Loreen. So thank you for saying that I changed something I've done.
I think, do you not think that Conchita was a moment, right? An actual moment. But, where is the weirdest place you have ever sung Rise Like a Phoenix?
It must be somewhat of a rehearsal, to be honest. And that quite often is in a toilet or a shower. I can't think of what I've sang on boats and on floating devices and I don't know.
A floating device.
Yeah, sure. I mean, when you're on a gay cruise and you're like in the pool and stuff.
Yeah, you've sung Rise Like a Phoenix
of
in the pool of
I
a
do,
gay cruise.
I do anything for a good flirt.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. Somebody said to me the other day, because I was trying to think of questions that you might never have been asked. And somebody said, will you ask Conchita, do they ski?
So listen, you're all familiar with Sound of Music. Right, the movie.
Who yeah. isn't?
So, well, most Austrians are not, anyway. Another story. But so this is where I grew up, actually. So it's mountains and clouds and birds and everything. So I learned how to ski very early as a kid, because it's like part of growing up there. And then I didn't do it for a long, long time. And I never did it since. Because, I feel like I would break some bones and I don't want that.
It's like riding a bike, though, isn't it?
That's what you heard. No, you know what I did? A few years back, I did Langlaufen, which is, it's like skiing, but not like from a hill. It's like walking fastly with thin, long skis. What's skating? Is it what it... Something like that.
Cross-country skiing, someone was saying.
Yeah. Whatever you said. So this is what I did. And I fell over a gazillion times because I also thought it's like riding a bike, and it's not, people. Do not ski.
So whoever asked me that question earlier, I can't remember quite who it was, but
It's a no.
It's a no. It's a no. There is no skiing. No. What are some of, I assume every year you dip into Eurovision, you yeah. watch it. What have been songs that have really impressed you since you won?
Well, listen, anything Loreen does is just joyful and blissful to my ears because I followed her back when she won and I consumed every bit of music she ever released. And I think this woman is incredible and she deserves everything she got. And I'm her biggest fan, so she would always be on top of my list. Last year, Gustav was just so good.
He would come right on cue. Gustav has entered the chat, everybody. Gustav, come on. Here he is.
It's so cool.
It's hello, so my cool. dear.
Hi.
Hi. Gustav has entered the room.
Hi. That,
did you spot Gustav out the side of your eye then when you said about because of you and Gustav? Did you
no,
know?
I mean, I was going through the Rolodex of last year's songs.
Okay.
And I feel like your vocal performance was just so impressive and being there in the stadium. I mean, you felt it too. It was just, everybody was like lighting up and being full of joy. Who is coming?
Okay. It is Alexandra from Kano. Also Tom from Kano and Fred. You know what? This warms my heart because this is the Eurovision family. You know, these are people who have changed our lives in a good way, you know, and to see everybody here just fills my heart with joy, and I hope it does to you as well. I was going to ask you quickly, Conchita, about Loreen, yeah. because I remembered when you two worked together, you did the Eurovision movie.
I did.
How was that?
Oh gosh, that was the best time we ever had. You can imagine, we don't really get together that often. So there were so many contestants and former winners and we all stayed in the same hotel and we had a lot of fun. Like I remember Loreen being in the whirlpool and I jumped, whatever. Can't get into details, but it was insane. What an experience. It was a Hollywood production and all like the trucks and everything, and everybody got their own dressing room, and we really felt like Meryl Streep every time. And then doing like the scenes, it was just so blissful because obviously there are like these people who are all actresses and actors, but we really had a fun party because we would perform for them, of course, to the playback and stuff. But it was a real moment, and I feel like you see that in the movie too.
Oh, it's the highlight. I mean, the film I love. It's the highlight of the film. I watch it on repeat because, well, first of all, you're spotting who do I know from Eurovision? Can I spot them all?
Yeah.
And then the song is Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling, isn't it? Is it?
Yeah, or I think it's the start. Yeah.
Yes, there's a couple of songs involved.
I did Ne Partez Pas Sans Moi.
You did?
Uh-huh. Can I tell you a story? Okay. So it was just last week, I've been to a gay bar in Vienna and I met this very cute guy and we had a nice conversation going on and he was like, oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, what? And he like did not know who I was. Whatever, no, that was just for comedic purposes. I didn't react that way. But anyway, we were talking about music and whatnot and then the bar owner knows me and every time I'm there, he wants to put on like music from me because he's just such a big fan. And then he put on the Eurovision movie medley. And then I was like, okay, well, I'm going to talk to this cutie and whatever. And then I came up and the whole bar started to cheer. And I was like, oh, thank you. he was like, what? So I love that.
Did he keep talking to you?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes.
I'm glad.
We had a lovely conversation.
It's actually a pickup trick with the bar. You have a deal with the bar owner. I like this one.
Yeah.
Put it on.
Yeah, put it on. Gustav, can you remember watching Conchita win back in 2014?
I do because I was on tour with Hercules and Love Affair at the time and we were here in London and we were working with some people from Vienna. Ooh. And because of this, I already knew you were participating and there was already excitement about you being part of it. And then I think we came off stage and the guy was like, oh my God, he won. It happened. And it was just a big moment because it was also for us like a queer band. We felt a bit like a little salute for like the queer world, you know, that really was like a tap on the shoulder, like we got this. It's a very important moment.
And do you guys remember that moment that Conchita won as well?
Yes.
Where?
Yes.
You're like, who?
No. I mean, watching you performing, that performance was everything.
Yeah.
And like I felt that I wanted to be on that stage one day doing what you did. And actually, I did your song.
Oh, nice!
In several performances after.
It's a good song now.
Yeah,
it's
but I did song, it I so bad. And I did it. It was
you were like 12?
I was like 12 or something.
Oh, my
yeah.
God!
I was actually a bit older. But I remember being there like this tiny event in a small island outside of Norway. It was 7 people in the audience. And I was doing your song.
Oh. I love that. Spreading the word. Spreading the word of the Phoenix to everyone. And Tom, you tried to get into Eurovision for Norway the year before, didn't you, 2013?
Yes.
And do you remember sitting and watching that contest where Conchita won?
Absolutely. Because I've been a Eurovision fan since I was a kid. That's, I think, all of us here on stage and also in the room know why this competition means so much for us. But I think... I remember seeing it and I immediately knew, okay, that's the winner. Because it's the thing, like, one thing is the song and the other thing is the vocals, but also kind of like the way connecting with the audience through the screen. And I think that's what you say, Gustav, like, you know that this song means a lot both for the artist, but also for the people around. I think that meant a lot for me as well. So it was amazing.
And Fred, were you a Eurovision fan back in the day? Can you remember watching Conchita?
Yes, of course I watched it. And I think that it was very cool. And yeah, I've always been a Eurovision fan. And we had this Sami in 1983 with Sami Atnan. And after that, I was like dreaming about as Alexander to stand on the same stage one day.
It feels like, do you get the warmth of people within the Eurovision family?
Listen, of course. I love, love, love being a part of it because I feel like it's the best example for a functioning society. Not because it is. We all come together with different point of views and we are not like agreeing on everything, but we can disagree in fun and peacefully and in harmony and we enjoy it. And it's in the stage, you can be whoever you want to be. I mean, there are some rules, but not that many. And for the rest, you can do whatever you want. And it's such a great example. And also, this is the only bubble where everybody thinks I'm Madonna. So I will stay. And I love it. Thank you so much. Don't stop doing that.
So Madonna... we went to see ABBA last night, didn't
we? Yes, we did.
We didn't go together, but we were there at the same time. Because as well as your 10-year anniversary, it's 50 years since ABBA won the Eurovision Song Contest with Waterloo. Conchita, you went to see Voyage, which is the Avatars. What did you think of it?
It was outstanding. It was jaw-dropping. The moment the show started, I was standing there like mouth open, not really believing what I see. It's so... vibrant and so colorful and it's glitter and glamour and so well done. The band is incredible. I feel like one of my favorite moments was definitely when the backing singers and the band got introduced and you could like hear live singing.
Yes.
Which made my body move immediately. Besides, the other thing was so artistic. I was really like there enjoying and watching it. And then... When they showed their performance at Eurovision, like the Waterloo performance, that was so brilliant. And then at the end, I'm not going to spoil it if you want to see it, but the end is also very good.
Did you feel watching that there's this connection between you and them? You're part of a very exclusive club.
I felt like being in the Hunger Games, to be honest. No, because it's, you know, it's like this gigantic moment and you have them on screen and it's so cineastic and the people are cheering to a screen. And I feel, you know, you get the connection, but it is outerworldly. I have to be honest. I have never experienced something like this before.
When the first time I went to see it, we had a couple of red wines, you know, when we went to watch it.
Yeah, that's good, I think.
And my friend in the audience went to see it as well. And there was a moment where all of ABBA come on, that the avatars come on stage and do a little monologue. And one of them came on and what did you shout?
Agneta, I love you.
Agneta, Agneta, I love you. We're like, she's not real, babe. She's not there. But it's just like immersive.
And you feel the urge to do it.
Yes.
Yes, yes, I totally
exactly.
get it.
Exactly.
I totally get it.
Gustav, ABBA, how much of an ABBA fan are you?
Pretty big one, yeah.
What would be your number one ABBA karaoke song?
Oh my God. As someone, I've never done karaoke in my life.
What?
No. Never. Never watched. I don't even get it with the ball and all. No. I don't get it.
I don't think anyone believes you.
With the ball.
I mean, with that little ball that moves and it's too much for my brain to take in.
Do you believe this? I can't believe
no,
this.
No, really,
you
I swear to God.
Let's do karaoke one day.
Yes.
Yeah,
let's
do karaoke one day. Yes.
We'll need some gin, but okay. God, I think The Visitor is my favorite album.
Oh, mine too.
And I guess the big one on there is One of Us, so I would go for One of Us then. Yep. Yeah.
Alexandra?
I'm a huge ABBA fan. It was ABBA and Celine Dion that I listened to when I grew up. And one of the first songs that I ever did was Mamma Mia, Heva Hova Again, My, Masha Masha Miss You.
Yeah.
I was that tiny. So that's my go-to. I mean, it's a banger.
Have you guys ever done an ABBA cover?
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
We've actually made a canified version of Gimme Gimme.
With the oik.
Yeah, it's like you can add yoik to any song and it just gets elevated. But it's usually at the time in our show when we ask the audience, so who's ready for A Man After Midnight?
And normally
and then,
yeah. There's
gimme,
a fair
gimme.
Few, right?
Uh-huh.
Yes, we get it. Fred, ABBA fan?
Yeah, my dad had a lot of CDs, but I think my son is a bigger ABBA fan than me because that's my to-go song to put on when he's get like... A little difficult, especially in the evenings.
You put ABBA on?
Yeah, Mamma Mia. He loves that.
Really?
Yeah. Oh,
so it's like a lullaby for your son. Amazing.
Yeah. When the yoik don't work, you have to put an ABBA song.
Your philosophy in life, when the yoik don't work, you put ABBA on. I think we can all attribute to that. Gustav, I want to come back to you because you radiate joy. And I think we got on really well last year, didn't we?
Yes, for sure.
In Liverpool. I think you are the perfect example of why anyone taking part in Eurovision shouldn't look at the odds before they go to Eurovision because they don't mean anything.
Yeah. I mean, it was, in the beginning, it was a bit like, okay, we're not doing very well. But I had to quickly decide either I let that become part of me or it doesn't become part of me. And I decided to not let it become part of me. And I was like, I focus on the work, focus on the act. And I also knew, I kind of always felt like I told also the singers I work with who I've known for years, like, we're not going to look crazy on stage. We'll be fine. And that kind of self-assurance really helped us. And I knew we were going to do something well. I just didn't know how well it would pan out. But I did found it a bit in the beginning overwhelming, but then it just became about, again, the joy and the work of it all, and it's been an amazing journey in that sense, I have to say, because it did feel like we really conquered something in that moment. Yeah.
Can we give a cheer for Gustav's joy? Because I don't know about you guys, but I saw that journey from, because Gustav was the first act of last year's crop to come on the podcast. It was the day after Eurosong.
Yes.
And so I kind of followed Gustav's journey. And then when we got to Liverpool, you just saw people reacting, smiling, warming to this wonderful song. And it became an anthem. Joker Out from Slovenia, loved it. They'd sing all the time. What is the nickname that Joker Out give you, please?
Daddy, yeah, Daddy Gustav.
Steph Daddy, Daddy Gustav. How does your husband feel about being called Steph Daddy?
Oh my God, that's a very good point. Well, I have no business talking to boys in their early 20s, so in that sense, I'm fine, and I'm happily married, so that's cool. But I have to say, I was telling someone else today, the boys from Joker Out really also... were so giving in their energy. I think they also made a lot of people become friends because of their interaction with everyone. They kind of took everyone on their path. And for them to embrace the song the way they did was, I told them on stage even like, yeah, I think I'm going to have to start giving you royalties at this point because you're doing more promo for the song than me. So, but that there's just something so joyous about those boys, and I really think the world of them. They're really great, great guys.
You joined them on stage last week, didn't
yes,
you?
Yes, in Antwerp. Yeah, my
How
hometown.
Was that?
Crazy, because, you know, and first they played the song in their Joker Out way, which was lovely. It was like a disco rock song all of a sudden, which was great. And then the crowd just went berserk. But to my own surprise, a bit like, oh, what the... I wasn't ready for it, because honestly, because they're just, let's be real, they're five beautiful, charismatic boys, and girls are just screaming nonstop. And I was like, yeah, when I come on, well, this is not going to happen, of course. And then and I was like, it was even worse. Like, oh my God. And I'm not used to that, but it was lovely to experience it once. I felt like the Beatles for 3 minutes, which is lovely.
Amazing. Kano, you guys are just a hit factory. Hit after hit after hit, song after song. Are you ever not working?
No.
You put a song out last week, didn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you find the time?
We live in dream music all the time. Like I have these melodies popping in my head, and just like constantly on the phone while eating breakfast, sitting at the loo, just like humming around.
Yeah, the loo is a hit machine.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. No, I think, but we love what we do, and I think that's. Making it much easier, and we're doing it by ourselves, so we can choose to release a song whenever we feel like.
Here's to being an independent artist,
yes.
Right?
Yay.
You know, it's amazing. I think with you guys in Spirit in the Sky, with your performance, it's very similar to Conchita and also to Gustav. When you watch it back, there's a moment where there's the roar of the crowd. That's when you feel the goosebump moment. Do you know what I mean? It's like the moment you know you've connected with the crowd. Did you hear that? Were you aware of that roar?
Yeah, you know, when we came on stage, I couldn't even hear my backing track. Because the audience were like yoking so loud, so I couldn't hear myself in my ear.
And you can actually see like the moment when all the three of us come together on yeah. stage after your yoik, where we just have this fire in our eyes and we look at each other and we're just like, we did it.
Aww.
And that's like, I get emotional just thinking about it. But that was like one of the most amazing things happening that day. And we were so happy. I'm just like, we were so smiling, it was hurting.
I also love, I'm sure you've all seen this, you know, when they get the most amount of points from the public. And Alexandra, you're just like,
a bit tipsy at that moment, to be honest. They were pouring wine because the wine bottle could never be like, it could never look empty. So I was just like, oh, they're just giving us more. And I didn't think that I might go on TV again. And I was just crying. And it was, oh my God, embarrassing.
Such a moment though. I loved it, honestly, because it's the roller coaster of Eurovision. You never know what's going to happen, right? And I think with all three of you, it's you make of it what you want. You know, you don't go in with any pressure. You just go and do your thing because you know you're good at it, right? Yeah. And it pays rewards. That's why we're all sat here chatting to you right now. Yeah. Conchita has to go and get ready and beautify themselves for later. Not that they're not beautiful already, obviously. Just a final thought from you, Conchita. Where's the most amazing place that Eurovision has taken you?
Oh my God, that's a very Miss Universe answer. But to myself, to be honest, as I said before, I always wanted to be like somewhat of a star and living my life in a creative way. And then this win came and you kind of start to believe it. You start to believe yourself. And then you get like literally a seat at the table. And then it for me, it was just opening door after door after door, and my creativity just grew even more. And I learned so much about myself and about how I want to live life and what I want to do with my life. So it truly, yeah, I got to know myself so much quicker probably and more intense than probably without this win.
You made your mark. But one final funny story I've just remembered. I went to Vienna the year after as a fan. I went to the contest as a fan. And there's a moment we were stood in the crowd and this box came through and we were like, is Conchita in this box? Is Conchita here?
I heard people saying that all the time.
Did you? Because you arrived from the audience, didn't you? Like through the box. Yeah. How long were you in the box
23
for?
23 minutes.
Do you have your phone in there?
No. I was just listening to everybody. So it was like this cannon thingy where they would shoot me out. And I was just in there. And it was so exciting because you could feel like the audience coming in and then the music started, and I was living my, I mean, you didn't see it, but I was like, it's happening, and then it happened at the end.
It was amazing. So you were in the box the whole time, and you could hear us all going, "Is Conchita in the box?
Yes,
she is. Oh my god, let's touch the box."
I heard that.
Touch the box. Conchita, thank you so much for joining us here on the podcast.
Thank you.
You created a moment. You are the moment. You are the Madonna of Eurovision.
Oh, please. Yay.
Yay.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Welcome back to a very special episode of the official Eurovision Song Contest podcast, recorded in front of a live audience right here at the London Eurovision Party. Having a good time? Yeah! We have Gustav still with us. We have Kano still with us. Yay! And we have been joined by one of the class of 2024. It is Sarah Bonici from Malta. Yay! Sarah, will you sum up your Eurovision journey so far?
Crazy. No, but honestly, really fun. This has always been my dream, so it obviously requires a lot of work, and I'm working as hard as I can to obviously deliver the best possible performance, but all in all, I'm just enjoying every moment.
Does anybody here know what Sarah does as her day job, by the way? Anyone want to put their hands up? No? Sarah, what's your day job?
Well, now I'm a singer, so I quit
oh, yes.
My profession. But I was an accountant.
So if any Eurovision artists need their tax doing, they can get advice from
definitely.
Yeah. I'm no longer practicing the profession. But
Let's talk later, okay?
Sarah, I think everyone here loves the fact that in your song Loop, you do a somersault, a loop on stage. How scary is that?
It actually is very scary, but it gets less scary when you practice it more. So now it's just, you know, fun.
But you, really. You did it in Madrid last week.
Yeah.
Were you nervous?
Not really. No, I got used to it.
Do you remember, what's your earliest Eurovision memory?
I've always watched Eurovision since I was a young kid. It was like always an annual family event at home. But I think the earliest memory is when Helena Paparizou, my number one won. I recall very, very clearly saying, I want to be like her one day. And I think another memory is growing up, where my cousins and I used to put up these little shows for our families at home. We used to literally sing and pretend we were the Eurovision artists and perform to Eurovision songs. And I look back and watch the videos and I say, who would have told me, you know, that one day I'd be one of them. So I think those are like the earliest memories that I have.
I'm seeing a common theme, Alexandra, because you did that as well.
Definitely.
Right?
A lot. And playing the drums on like a chair and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. playing the drums on the chair and playing the guitar with a racket.
And the choreography, as well.
Yes, and the hair and the makeup
yes,
and everything.
Everything.
All out.
So basically, you were always destined to get to Eurovision one day, right? Has it been fun meeting everybody?
Amazing. Honestly, everyone's so great so far. And I think that's the beauty of Eurovision and music, really, because I feel that it unites people. And I think it's great. I'm really enjoying meeting everyone.
Did everyone see Sarah dancing with Baby Lasagna, by the way? I felt it wasn't too balanced because Baby Lasagna's choreography is just like pull your arm down. And your choreography has a flip and everything else.
But well, we tried to balance it out. We didn't do the flip, right?
So Gustav, what would be your advice to Sarah as she enters this amazing journey?
Enjoy it. Like, don't get distracted by all the noise and distracted by all the... There's going to be a bit of drama, but it's not bad. It has to happen sometimes. But I think enjoying, because I know you love to perform. I've seen it, especially when you do all those kind of moves, you're a performer. So get into the performance and keep it about the performance, because there's so much other stuff that you're going to have to worry about. But in essence, this is what you're here to do, to perform.
Tom, what would be your bit of advice?
Well, absolutely the same as Gustav says, but also kind of like, saving a bit for the big moment. And I'm not saying now like be a part of it as much as you can, but I remember in 2019 the less experienced singers, they would sing and sing in their dressing rooms constantly
warming
from the morning
up,
warming
like,
up
yeah,
so the when time. they so some of them Yeah.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah, like that. That was a really good
rhyme,
by the way. I loved it.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
So some of them, when they finally, the big night was there, you could hear that it wasn't much left of their voice.
Yeah. Right.
So it's kind of like, just being there in the moment and just like being ready when it's there.
Yeah. It was just a big soup of sounds because there are no walls.
Oh my God,
in there.
Yes.
So yeah, there are no walls.
Sound mayhem in there.
Yeah. Sound mayhem. Yeah.
You've
summed up Eurovision perfectly. Yeah. Sound mayhem. Yeah. We are joined by Bambi Thug from Ireland.
Hey guys.
Hi Bambi. Take a seat.
I can't sit in this.
Oh, you can't sit? Oh, no.
I shan't sit in this.
Bambi, we had a lovely chat about horror films last week, didn't we?
We did.
We love the horror movies.
We love horror movies.
And you as well were at ABBA last night.
I was.
How did you find it?
I loved it. I danced so hard. I sang so loud. It was beautiful. They had loads of prawns as well. I ate all of them.
They had prawns?
Yeah, there was prawns. I went straight to the prawns. I was like, yum. They didn't play Super Trooper, which was sad, but they played Fernando, which is my favorite song. So I was like, yeah, it was great.
How are you enjoying this Eurovision ride?
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm tired. But I'm pushing through. And I'm
Do you relate happy. To that? Tired, but pushing on through?
Yeah. You have to, yeah. Yeah. There's no choice. Yeah.
Of course.
You
but it's fun. Later. It's fun.
It it's fun. Yeah. It's fun. It's fun. I'm independent, so I'm doing a lot of jobs, but it's fun.
It's a podcast, but we have to talk about what you're wearing.
I'm wearing a big condom wrapper. And I got some condoms for everybody. Okay, not everybody. I need to save some for other people. Here, I got a lot of press to do.
There we are. Bambi making an entrance, as always. When you were in Madrid, that outfit you wore in Madrid was incredible.
Thank you. This is the same designer, actually, Daniel Bosco from Paris.
It's like the sequel, isn't it?
Yeah, it's also scuba gear.
Oh, wow.
As well, both of them were scuba gear.
You can breathe underwater.
Gorgeous. I throw me in the pond.
I know that you've built up nice friendship with Sylvester from Lithuania, haven't you?
Oh, I have done. I've got my little gang already. It's really sweet.
So what have you and Sylvester bonded over?
You're just weirdos, both of us, I think. No, everyone's really cute, really, really kind. And that's what I look for in friends. Kindness and quirky weird.
There's two witches essentially, isn't there, this year? There's you and there's Raven as well from Slovenia.
Yeah, true. Witches, witches, witches. Everywhere you look, witches, witches.
Are we going to have a witch collab?
We could maybe have a witch collab, Moose.
Maybe.
Baby?
Maybe. Maybe baby. When you signed on for Eurovision, is everything... What's been the most odd thing about it that you didn't expect?
I don't know. The oddest thing. I don't know. I'm pretty odd, so nothing makes me a bit like, oh...
Just everything being a bit surreal, even for you.
It's surreal. It is surreal. Like, the growth of support for me from being, like, tiny to having my whole country be like, woo! And now other people be like, woo, baby! Yeah, it's cool.
Sarah, are you finding that as well? The growth of fans and people getting behind you?
Yeah, most definitely. And I think that really does make a difference, like, to the artist. The support means a lot. It gives you, like, a lot of... And as she said, like, it's a lot of hard work, so we need to, like, push through.
Where is the weirdest place you've performed, Alexandra?
The weirdest place?
Yeah, as Kano.
Oh, wow. What would that be? We've been on a lot of cruise ships.
That's the same as Conchita. Yeah.
But we
have. You don't remember?
Okay. We have. We've performed in a little ice hotel, like a hotel made of ice.
Yeah, up north in Norway.
Up north in Norway.
Yeah.
But also like one of those little small bars in Edinburgh. It's like a...
We've got some Edinburgh people.
It was an amazing, 50 people. We were so late. We had just performed at Cologne Pride the day before, and the flight was 2 hours late. Yeah. So we just, when we landed, people were actually starting to get to the venue, and they're like, okay, where are you? Okay, whoops. So we actually arrived with our full gear, had to do like a little...
We did the sound check in front of the audience. Like
But it was an amazing night, and I think that's the thing, because we share the love of music, so...
Fred, since Eurovision, you are now a dad. How is being a dad going?
It goes well. yeah, I like being a dad. He's a great kid, and yeah, he's getting older and bigger every day. So, yeah.
What's his favorite Kano song?
I don't actually play Kano songs for him.
What? He hasn't told us that.
Oh, I'm devastated.
I'm just kidding. Black Leather.
Black Leather. Yeah. Somebody said on Reddit, you didn't win Melody Grand Prix this year. Were you dumb diggy sad or dumb diggy mad?
Well, no comment, both. No, but I mean, we worked hard. We invested a lot of time, a lot of money, and we made like, we still have that dream of winning Eurovision. And we felt like, oh, now this is it. We love the song. It's a good energy. It represents us the way our music has turned out to be now. And then it was like 6 points. And it would have actually like felt better if we were like crushed, like if somebody just won like very clearly. But since it was like that close, it was of course heartbreaking. But I mean, everything happens for a reason. I believe that.
Yeah.
And we're still touring. I mean, we had a concert in London last night. So we're still yeah. there. Yeah.
Did anyone go last night to Kano? Yeah, a few people are here from the audience. So the question for Gustav, how many hats do you have in your collection and what is your favorite?
I have way too many hats. And I can't stock them anymore, so we're using the kitchen cupboards to put in hats at this point. So we're renovating the house to make sure we have more room for hats. But it's just become an obsession for years, so it's about over 50, 60. But I mean, it's also caps and other stuff I can put on my head. But yeah, it's a lot. And
Where's the Eurovision one?
That's saving a box, and my plan is once we're done with this renovation to give it a special place in my apartment.
Oh, yeah. Give it a nice little a box for the hat, yeah, on display.
Because I couldn't keep the clothes I was wearing were from Walter van Berendonk, the designer I was working with, but it's an old stock piece, so I had to go back to his stock from years ago. So I could only keep the hat actually. So I want the hat to have a special place in the apartment.
It's an amazing hat. We love the hat.
Yeah. We'll do hat night and karaoke then.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm bringing the gin.
Okay, yes. And the hats.
And the hats. Yeah. Okay.
For Sarah, if you could sing any other Eurovision entry, what would it be?
From this year, I think it would be... Ooh! Okay.
Was that Bambi saying, do me, do me, my song?
I said, Doomsday. The witch. I think it would be Italy's entry from this year.
Ah, La Noia. Yeah,
I think so.
Have you met Angelina Mango yet?
Yeah, I met Angelina, and I think she's really sweet, and she's very, very talented.
Am I right in thinking that you, when you went for the Maltese national final, was it a surprise to you when you won?
Yeah, clearly, I think. I mean, if you rewatch the videos, you'll realize that it was a huge surprise for me. I mean, obviously, I worked as hard as I could, and I really believed in my song and in my performance. But I was never, like, in the odds, I was never the favorite to win. But when the music video came out and when the performance came out, and I saw the reaction of people, it was crazy, and I ended up winning. But yeah, it was actually a big surprise for me.
And now you're opening semi-final 2.
I am.
It's a big moment. And I quite like that both Bambi and Sarah here are in different semi-finals. So, you know, there's no rivalry. It's nice.
Like that.
Has Ireland now fully embraced you, Bambi?
Yeah, except for some priests.
It's true. But yeah, no, it has. It's doing good. It's doing well. It's doing good for me.
Well, I saw you in Madrid and the crowd reaction was great.
Yeah.
Like people loved it.
Yeah, I think seeing me live changes your mind on things. Some people were like, this was my least favorite song and now it's my favorite song. I'm like, you just need to understand.
Also, we have to say the Screamo is a talent because Voyager did it last year for Australia. Bambi does it as well. You can't just do that. That takes practice and technique.
Yeah. And a bit of psycho. No, it does. I have a scream coach as well as a singing teacher. So it's just to find like the different placement. It's kind of actually about
being very relaxed in your show, like you're yawning almost, but then.
But then it's not
like yawning. Not yawning.
It's the actual reverse of a yawn. Yeah. It's an actual scream.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Bambi's song yet?
Yes.
There's nothing
quite
like it.
Are you scared of it?
No. No, absolutely love it.
Love it.
Thank you.
Amazing.
So, Takeno, if you had to produce an interval act for your own country of Norway, what would it be or who would it be?
Wow, that's a good question. I think that's a good thing with Eurovision being in Sweden this year. They are so pros when it comes to producing a show. But I think what we would do would be to kind of grab the essence of what Kano is, because Kano is always going to be a place where you can be whoever you are, and regardless of how you look, where you're from, your religion, your background, who you love. And I think it would be the same with the music as well, bringing in a lot of the elements that we have in our music, like both the Sami, the Norwegian, the indigenous, maybe a a big cocktail of music and impressions in this.
We have another one of the class of 2024 on stage. Please welcome Musti from Belgium. Here he is. And he's going to save the biggest hug for Belgium and Belgium. Hi, mate. Hi, how are you?
Fine, and you? Oh, my God. Oh, there's a lot of people
here. It's a big audience. Oh,
but my angel is there with me, so I'm always feeling comfortable when Gustav is around.
Oh, I don't know if any of you heard Musti on the podcast, but these two bonded, and Gustav has been giving Musti advice on a daily basis.
Always checking if I'm not depressed or something like that. Are you okay? Are you okay?
Do you want to talk? I can talk with you right now.
How are you finding everything?
Oh, it's great. It's a bit overwhelming, but you told me before. It's a bit overwhelming, but it's really great vibes. It's super positive, and I feel good. I feel the vibe between the artists also is great. You know, I didn't want to be there in a contest mood, and I don't feel that at all. It's just that we learn to feel each other, to know each other, and it's so cool. I can feel the positive vibe, but it's just like, yeah, it's a new adventure for me, so it's a bit overwhelming, but it's cool. I'm okay.
Well, you're all in it together, you know, Bambi, so hold on to the table, Musti. This man has given you so much good advice, and he did such a good job last year, didn't he?
The story of Gustav is amazing, and you know, we just have to look at your performance, look at your story at Eurovision, and learn a lot, and just be so respectful. Belgium is so proud of you, really. And so it's a bit of pressure for me to go after
you're
you.
You're doing great. You're doing great.
But yeah, you know, I'm so happy that because for me we know friends, and I'm so happy.
Yes, same for me.
Yeah, we did a party in Brussels.
Yes.
Together.
Drag show.
Party is never over with.
No. Belgium's
get your song.
Like party.
Get your song title in there, of course. Like you just did. Yeah. He's a pro. He's a pro.
It's all because of you.
Musti, I'm glad you're here because there was a bit of an emergency yesterday, wasn't there? Because they cancelled the flight.
In fact, to be honest with you, I slept only 1 hour because it was the pre-party at Barcelona. And then, so I was in my room. I'm talking about my life. It's annoying. I'm sorry. I was in my room at first in the morning, and with the adrenaline, the energy, impossible to sleep. And we have a cancelled flight this morning. So we had to get up earlier. So 5 o'clock in the lobby. So I'm like 1 hour sleep, and I'm like, am I a zombie or a vampire? I don't really know.
Am I
alive?
Bambi thug?
Is it just am I Bambi thug?
Oh, we love Bambi, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Yes. And so, yeah, it's a bit, it's a surreal for me, but it's okay. I like that. I'm just flying, like, you know, without alcohol and nothing. I didn't do anything, but it's just a bit like I'm in the air. Yeah. It's a good, you know.
But you look great.
You think so?
You
look
amazing. I really do.
Yeah, Botox, acid hyaluronic, a lot of surgery.
Ah, ben, c'est comme ça. Hey. And I love the pearls. Beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, you see the contrast between... It's a bit of the party, before the party's over, dress, because you have the you know, it's completely destroyed. It's the end of the party and the glam, so the contrast is there in one outfit.
It's the the musty aesthetic, basically.
Yes.
Musty, as people know, you are a judge on Drag Race, and you two were on the same episode of Drag Race Belgium. You were the special guest, weren't you, Gustav?
I think that's the first time we met, actually.
Yeah, first time.
And you were just announced as the Eurovision candidate for Belgium.
Yeah,
it was... And it was immediately a click, and we gave each other's phone numbers, and
It was so easy. Yeah. Already asking, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" But it did really well as a judge. It was so.
Well, my French is could be better.
Yeah, because in Belgium we have like three languages:
Flemish, French, and
German.
German, of course.
But you speak very well. I'm more in Flemish. For me, it's more difficult. I can say "Hoe gaat het met jou?"
That's heel goed, eh?
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
It means how are you doing?
So simple.
I thought it was like a secret code. We have another of the class of 2024 who's just walked in. Please welcome Kayleen from Austria. Hiya.
Hi everyone.
I felt quite special the other week because I went to go and see Kayleen at a dance studio, and it was your first day of doing the choreo for We Will Rave, wasn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly, yeah. When we talked, there was nothing rehearsed yet, so you got the first minute experience, yeah.
All I remember is your song was on loop for about half an hour, wasn't it? And that was the rest of the day, right?
Yeah, ever since then, basically.
It's just, you go to bed, it's in your head. You wake up, it's in your head.
Yeah, but I don't even feel like it's stuck in my head. It's just there all the time. It's just the soundtrack that's life at the moment. Yeah.
So how's it been since we last saw you?
Great. A lot going on. Like, I feel like weeks now feel like years. More or less, because so many things happen at the same time. Yeah, so every day is different, every day is exciting, and today is exciting as well.
Do you feel that, Musty? Weeks are like years.
Yeah, of course. No, it's but like I said, overwhelming, and it's like, it's crazy. It's really, but I think it will be more intense. I think so, more intense day by day. So I'm trying to stay like focused on the moment, you know, not to see the big picture because it's a lot, but step by step, you know, and it's just try to have some great time and live the moment, I think. Yeah.
Is it funny, Alexandra, hearing all these people and going, yeah, I know what that was like.
Yeah,
completely.
I know the feeling when you talk about it. And it was crazy, but it's amazing. And just remember to enjoy everything that you're experiencing right now. Hanne Krog once told me that you should write a diary.
Mm-hmm.
So you should like remember everything that you're feeling because it's like... So many things happening all the time. You're amazing, both of you.
Thank you so much.
That is what, last week I was speaking to Nemo, and Nemo's really good friends with Taya, of Taya mm-hmm. and Selena from Austria last year, and she said exactly the same. Write a diary, old school, pen and paper, write down like how you're feeling.
Yeah, or notes on your phone if that's easier.
Oh, yes. We are in 2024, after all. But does it feel like that everything is just like a bullet train going past your eyes?
Yeah, because there's a lot of information, a lot of new friends suddenly, a lot of, you know, so it's a bit of an explosion in the head. But I want to try to be in the moment. That's maybe the hardest, you know. You're always thinking about tomorrow, about how we have to do that, we have to be better on that. But at one point, I really want to enjoy, and I'm really trying to enjoy. I feel that in 2 months, I'll be like, okay, it's already finished. And it's cool because I see you seem not depressed and alive. So it means that we can go through Eurovision be fresh as a flower.
Of course. And like all the new people we met during Eurovision are people coming to our concerts now.
Nice.
Like,
that's great.
This is the reason, because we were a fresh band. It was our first time, our first song ever in Eurovision. If it wasn't for our fans, then we wouldn't.
But it's
we kind of took care of that in a way.
Yeah. There's a lot of waiting in Eurovision. You should know this. Like, if you think
waiting.
It's a lot of waiting in this pre-party, it's like during Eurovision, there's 90% is waiting. And we were always like waiting next to Duncan in 2019.
Duncan Lawrence.
So we became very good waiting buddies.
Yeah.
All of us. And we've stayed in touch. And
it was like being in high school in a way.
Yeah. Kayleen, who have you got before and after you in the semi-final?
I know I got... friends before me, but after me, I'm not sure now.
Let's try and think, because that's who you're going to be friends with. I'm
sorry, I don't know. I didn't study the schedule.
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't know if anyone remember. But anyway, whoever is before and after you, they are going to become your friends.
We'll just take everyone. Everyone is going to be, like, the class of 2024. I just love that. And that's what also makes sense now with what you said. Yeah, we're just all classmates now.
What's been your biggest pinch me moment?
Probably last week at the first flag parade.
Oh yeah.
It was a very emotional moment for me when we were all standing on stage with our flags, and then I looked into the audience and in everybody's eyes, and you could just feel something so special that, well, actually it's just like, I don't know how many artists we were last week, 20 something people standing on stage with a flag. Like, it's not that special, but at Eurovision it is the most special thing ever. And then I really got emotional in that moment, yeah.
Now, this is the thing, right? And I don't know if any of you in the audience agree with me, but in the flag parade, when they come out, I want over-the-top flag waving. I don't want coming out and looking down and going off. I want, like, status. I want people to, like, show me their flag, show me they're there. So my big advice, Musti, Kayleen, come out, practice.
We'll do that.
I want pose. I want poise.
Work the flag.
You know what? I felt a bit stupid at this moment. It was also a special moment, but it was so quick in the preparation, so I didn't understand. I'm sorry, I'm a bit blonde, but that we had to go in the middle. I was already in my line, you know? And so I didn't understand at that time that we had to go in the middle and, like, be completely full flag. I was a bit shy. I was like, but why am I so shy at this moment? You need to be proud of your country. But I didn't understand. I think it was super quick moment, but next time.
For next time, Musti, I want more effort. Yeah. I'm sorry. Come on. We want to see it. We have come to the end of our time with this very special episode of the podcast, but I don't know about you, but I've just loved seeing these Eurovision faces, legends and you, all on stage together. I want to say a big thank you to Gustav, to Kano, to Kayleen, to Musti, to Sarah, to Bambi Thug and to Conchita. We love them being part of Eurovision. We can't wait for Malmo, and thank you to you, the audience, as well, for supporting the podcast, being here today. Go and enjoy the party and just have an amazing Eurovision season. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you.